Good afternoon, everyone. Let's go ahead and call to order this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Appreciate you all being with us. For the record, today is Thursday, March 6, 2008, and members present are Senators Bundy, Davis, and Ellis. We're beginning at about 2:31 in the afternoon. We have bills previously heard today. We're going to deal with House Bill 233, Unclaimed Phone Electric Co-op Distributions. House Bill 196, Handling Matters After a Person's Death. HJR 16, Opposing the Milk Tax. So that seems like a reasonable order in which to accomplish this work. So let's begin by bringing up House Bill 233, Unclaimed Phone and Electric Co-op Distributions. Representative Kelly is not able to be with us, and his staffer is away. So we do have a CS that committee staff will distribute. We were responsive to some of the suggestions that were made in public testimony by Mr. Ray Craig of Chugach Consumers Group regarding the public notice. So, Mr. Owen, could you join us at the table since we don't have Mr. Miller? And just talk us through the CS, and I hope this bill can move along today. If you just introduce yourself for the record, and please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Dana Owen, staff to Senator Ellis and to this committee. The CS that you have before you, I've also, along with the CS, passed out a one-pager that explains how we got from the current version of the bill that you have in your packets to the CS that we've introduced today. It's a little bit, although it's a simple bill and it's very short, I found that reading through it, it was kind of difficult to follow, so I thought it would be best if I wrote these out for you. The original bill mandates that if an electric cooperative has a website, they would have two options for publishing the list of names of people who may have unclaimed distributions. They could either do it in the normal fashion that one does for a legal notice in a newspaper, or they could publish it on a website for 180 days if they had a website. We found that working with the cooperatives, and especially with Mr. Craig, that there were a number of places where he thought it could be more specific and that the requirements could be tightened up. That's what we've tried to accomplish in version T. We worked with Robert Wilkerson from the Copper Valley Electric Association, who was representing a group of electric co-ops. Mr. Wilkerson, I believe, is online today to speak to this. But in any event, what we have before us today in version T is that if a cooperative has a website, it must post the names for at least 180 days on that site. It must also post a notice on the home page that the list is on the site. That notice must contain a link to the list and the following prominently displayed notice line in all capital letters. Do we owe you money? Unclaimed, insert the name of the cooperative, capital credits. As well, they also have to publish once a week for four consecutive weeks in a similar notice in a general circulation newspaper in the cooperative's judicial district. If the newspaper has an internet edition, the notice is to be simultaneously published there, and we further define the minimum size of that published notice. In both cases, a newspaper of general circulation is defined as it is in another section of statute.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Questions or comments? Mr. Wilkinson, are you available online?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I am.
Do you have any comments regarding the proposed committee substitute?
Very briefly, the committee substitute is supported by the industry and is recent as 1 o'clock today. I spoke to Mr. Craig about it, and he is supportive of the legislation as well. I would like to just note that since the last hearing on February 14th, this is an excellent example of interested parties working together to come up with a solution acceptable to all. I think that's how the process is supposed to go. And I would like to commend your staff, Mr. Owen, and also Representative Kelly's staff, Derek Miller, for helping us out with this. And we do support the CS.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkinson. That's exactly music to our ears. That's exactly what we like to hear here in the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. So thank you for finding that balance between consumer interest and notification and the needs of the industry. I'd like to note that we also have Marilyn Leland from the Alaska Power Association available for questions, if there are any. I would like to, as chair, entertain a motion to adopt the Bannister backslash T version as the item before us.
So moved.
Senator Davis has moved the Bannister backslash T version as the committee substitute before us. Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, that is the version of the bill before us. I think we've worked it out, folks. Is there any discussion? If not, Senator Bundy?
I was just going to make a motion.
Please go right ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate CS for CS for House Bill 233, Labor and Commerce, from committee with individual recommendations.
Okay. Is there discussion of the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, the bill moves on to the Senate Finance Committee for further work. Mr. Wilkinson, thank you again for your help.
You're quite welcome, Senator. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the next item of business. That would be House Bill 196, Handling Matters After a Person's Death. This is a bill sponsored by the House Judiciary Committee. It has a further referral to State Affairs and in our body and to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Ms. Pearson is with us today. And thank you for being here. Welcome back to the committee. And I understand Senator Bundy has a proposed amendment. So, Ms. Pearson, do you have any quick comments to remind us about the nature of the bill?
Senator Ellis, I think we're pretty good on that.
Okay. Okay, I think we're all up to speed on what's going on here with the bill. We had the presentation last time around. Senator Bundy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move amendment number one. It's backslash echo point one from Bannister.
Okay, I'll object just for purposes of discussion.
All right, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the outset, I'd like to say that I have communicated with the bill sponsor. He not only didn't object, but was supportive of the amendment the last we had talked. Mr. Chairman, in the bill, the amount before you have to go to probate for, I guess, real property, something that is that you can see and touch, has been raised to $100,000. And the amount that was cash, basically, it was only raised to $25,000. And it seemed to me that if $100,000 was good in one case, it probably ought to be also good in the other case. I have heard arguments, or had correspondence at least, debate that there was concern that if it was cash, some evil step twin could come and take the cash. Well, they could come and take the cars or physical property as well. It just does not seem as if it's a problem. There was concern, nature of full disclosure, that somehow they thought this amendment would derail the bill. I just don't think that argument has merit. I don't see why, if it's $100,000 of real property, why $100,000 of cash would derail a bill. I've certainly heard no discussion in the halls that that was a huge issue for anyone. So I would then encourage adoption of the amendment. As you pointed out, it has another referral to State Affairs. If upon further vetting, this is I'm convinced that this is a erroneous way to go. Well, I would certainly withdraw this option.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. I appreciate you offering the amendment and checking with the sponsor, our sponsors committee. And I agree with you. This changing, I think some of the folks who are interested in the bill are just worried about any changes and turbulence in the whole thing. But among legislators, I don't think there's a concern about adjusting the amount, or we'll see that in other committees. But I don't think it derails the bill. And we're taking expeditious action on the bill. We haven't held it for more than a reasonable period of time. So I have no objections to the amendment. Is there any other objection to the amendment? Any further discussion? Hearing no objection, the amendment number one has been adopted. Are there any further amendments to come before us during markup of the bill? Seeing none, any discussion on the bill as amended? If there's not, I'll entertain a motion to move the bill. Senator Bundy?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we move Committee HB 196 as amended with individual recommendations.
Okay. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered, the bill moves on to the Senate State Affairs Committee. Ms. Pearson, thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, now we move on to House Joint Resolution number 16, opposing the milk tax. Folks will remember the presentation made at a previous hearing. This bill would go directly from our committee to the Rules Committee if it moves out of this committee today. Mr. Moffitt is with us. Welcome to the committee. Did you have any comments to remind us about the bill?
For the record, Senator Ellis, yes, I did. You had asked a question about the briefing paper from the Alaska Department of Natural Resources.
Oh, that's right.
And I didn't have an answer to you at the time, but I have looked it up. And the last line of the briefing paper, it said, similar to the beef, it's what's for dinner. The Got Milk campaign might not survive constitutional muster. Given the uncertain status of these types of programs, it may be prudent to wait and see what the outcome of the Beef Act case is. So I just wanted to tell you that on May 23rd, 2005, the court ruled against WERC and the Livestock Marketing Association in a 6-3 decision, saying that mandatory beef checkoff is government speech and therefore does not violate the Constitution's right to free speech.
Okay, anything further? Was that basically all the concerns that were expressed in the committee? I'm trying to remember the last hearing
on
this bill.
I think the idea was is that we might not have to do this because the Supreme Court may just strike down the Got Milk and the beef checkoff, and this resolution might not be necessary. But as it stands now, if Alaska is added to the list of states that have to pay it, the producers have to pay it, there's nothing unconstitutional about it, according to the Supreme Court.
Okay. Any comments or questions from members of the committee?
So you think the bill's in good shape?
I can't say anything. You guys, I think we know what we're doing here, and the sponsor wants to press ahead, and I see no reason not to. So, Senator Bundy?
Mr. Chairman, I move HJR 16 from committee with individual recommendations.
Okay. Is there any discussion of the motion to move the bill? Any objection to moving the bill? The bill goes on to the Rules Committee. Hearing no objection, the bill moves on with individual recommendations. Mr. Moffitt, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Senator.
Now, this is the most productive day we've had in the Labor and Commerce Committee. Maybe we should dump those other two more often and just get on with it.
You got some more bills? What's that about?
I'm just teasing.
I know of a couple that we...
Well, now, Senator Bundy, we're trying to... I hear you. Saturday meeting, of course, has been canceled for this week, but I would like to ask everyone to think about... we're very likely to need a Saturday meeting a week from this Saturday. So we'll probably have to bear down and get a number of things done to meet the 90-day adjournment requirement.
I'll be available with that.
Okay. And we will work with your staffs about a morning meeting or an afternoon meeting. I know your staff, Senator Bundy, had talked about having a morning meeting rather than the afternoon, but we'll try to reasonably accommodate those requests. Is there any further business to come before the committee today? If not... At 2:45 p.m. in the afternoon, we are adjourned.